Greetings, everyone. This is Brett Colder. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is designed to restore original Christianity for today, and we're sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God. Christian, because we walk in the footsteps of Christ. Biblical, because we believe the words of God in the Bible. Church, because we are the assembly of the believers, and it's of God, not of this world. Now, many people don't realize it, that there's another God of this world. And he is the one who deceives. And he is the one who brings a fake spirit. Now, I want to ask you the question. Are you connected to Jesus Christ? And hence, if you're connected to Jesus Christ, you're connected to the Father. And what are the circumstances that you need to become connected and to stay connected? All right? Let's begin in John 15 and verse 1. Now, this is a parable, but there's truth in the parables. Jesus is speaking to the apostles, and he's telling them, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. So, we're connected to Jesus Christ and the Father. He takes away every branch in me that does not bear fruit. Now, think about that for a minute. What is the fruit that we are to bear? The fruit of the Holy Spirit, of love and joy and peace and long-suffering and self-control and faith. All of that are the fruits that we are to bring forth. But he cleanses every one that bears fruit in order that it may bear more fruit. Now, what is that cleansing? The cleansing is getting rid of human nature, getting rid of the carnal-mindedness of our thoughts, and have them God-centered instead of self-centered, God-centered instead of Satan-centered. Whoa! There are a lot of people who have Satan-centered minds today, aren't there? Look at the evil. Look at the killing. Look at the abortion. Look at the lying. Look at the cheating. Look at the stealing. Look at the drugs. They are all connected to Satan, the devil. Are they not? Yes, indeed. You're already clean through the word that I've spoken to you. Because they repented, they believed Jesus Christ, they were to be his apostles. Notice verse 4. Dwell in me, and I in you, and that's by the power of the Holy Spirit. Are you dwelling in Christ? Well, if you're not loving God the Father, or Jesus Christ, and keeping commandments of God, you're not dwelling in Christ. Because true Christianity is dwelling in Christ, connected to Christ, connected by the Spirit to the Father, to walk in the ways of God, to keep the words of God, to live by the truth of God. Think about this with the fake Christianity that's in the world. Dwell in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, but only if it remains in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you are dwelling in me. Now, that's a simple lesson that is obviously true. Now, if you take a branch and you break it off a tree or break it off a vine, and you just lay it down, it's still green for a day or two. But it's gradually withering because there is no life coming from the vine into the branches. And that life comes by the sap. And then that produces the grapes. So likewise, there is a parable. If you are connected with Christ, then you're bearing fruit. This Holy Spirit is in you. Now, you may be connected in a fake vine, in a fake Christianity, and it may seem very spiritual indeed, because Satan is able to make it feel good. Verse 5, I am the vine and you are the branches. The one who is dwelling in me and I in him bears much fruit because apart from me you can do nothing. Now think about this for a minute. All of those who do something, but they're not connected with Jesus, all of that's going to be gone. Because it wasn't built on Christ. It wasn't built on the truth. Now notice this. If anyone does not dwell in me, he's cast out as a branch and is dried up. And that is happening to a lot of people today. Lots and lots of people. And fake Christianity is being exposed more and more for what it is. And there are more and more people leaving the so-called Christian churches because they see the sin, they see the hypocrisy. So they leave, but they don't know the truth of God.
The priests gave their favored boys gifts. Gold crosses to wear as necklaces. The crosses were markings of which boys had been groomed for abuse.
Hundreds of priests in the Catholic Church, both past and present, are accused of sexual abuse in a grand jury report just released. The allegations date back decades, and there could be thousands of additional victims.
So it's a perfect opportunity for them to begin really searching for the truth and searching for Christ. Going to the Word of God. And this is why we have church at home, because you are not burdened down with all the ritual and tradition and nonsense that goes on in so many of these churches. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. It's like we said earlier. Now notice this. Here are the conditions. So let's read it, verse 7. If you dwell in me, now notice the if, and my words dwell in you. Now think about that. It's a two-way street. Christ in you and you in Christ, both. And that then is directed by the Father. You shall ask whatever you desire, and of course that's according to the will of God, and it shall come to pass for you. In this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. Now think about this for a minute. If all of these conditions are not met, you're not a disciple of Christ. Because, see, it doesn't matter what you may profess. You may believe the lie that if you profess the name of Jesus, you're saved. But you're not, because you must have the Holy Spirit. You must walk in the words of God. You must keep the commandments of God. Now let's see how Paul expresses this back here in Romans, the 8th chapter. Now everybody wants to have their sins forgiven. But if they're forgiven today, what about your sins after they have been forgiven? See, you can't continue to live in sin. And sin is a transgression of the law. And sin is lawlessness. Now, lawlessness is broader than just a specific transgression of a commandment. Lawlessness means against the laws of God. So if you don't keep the Sabbath, you're lawless. You're against the laws of God. And you take the name of God in vain, because he never gave Sunday and even the holidays of this world. The holy days of the Bible are entirely different and have great meaning and help understand the plan of God. What on earth is God doing on the earth? No. Why is it that there is fake Christianity? Because Satan has given them a nice, easy, deceitful blessedly true sounding of how they present salvation. But they don't have the Spirit of God. Romans 8, verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death. That is, you don't have the Spirit of God. But to be spiritually minded is life, that is, eternal life, and peace, peace with God. You're not fighting Him. You're not against Him. You're not rejecting His commandment. You are not hateful to Him. Verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. There it is. An enemy of God. Now, how do you know if you're an enemy of God or a friend of God? Well, how many times have we talked about the Sabbath? Sabbath is from sundown Friday to sundown Saturday. Question, have you started to keep the Sabbath? If not, why not? What are all the excuses that you have? They're all self-justifying lies that keep you from coming to God. While you think you're coming to God, because you think you're doing right, because you have believed the lies that have been spoken in the church. The churches that have the Bible, that should know the truth, reject it. Let's go on. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So what about you? Do you agree with God? All the words of God? And Christ. But those who are in the flesh, or that is carnal-minded, cannot please God. Now the Greek there, it is impossible to please God. Now notice verse 9, because of what we covered back there in John 14 and 15. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if the Spirit of God is indeed dwelling within you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him. So how connected are you to God? Do you have the Spirit of God? Do you have it flowing into your mind, into your heart? Do you understand the Word of God when you study it? Do you believe and love the Word of God and keep it? All of that is necessary. Now notice, verse 10, but if Christ be within you, the body is indeed dead because of sin, yet you're living. But the body of sin is death. The body of sin in you at conversion is circumcised. However, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. God wants you to live in the right way. Love God, love your neighbor, keep His commandments, keep His Sabbath, keep His holy days. All of those are all a part of original Christianity, but today we're so overloaded with so much false Christianity that most people can't tell the difference. So that's why church at home, you can study your Bible at home. And the Bible you need is the Faithful Version. We also have it online at afaithfulversion.org, where we have the whole Bible, the text, and also the audio reading of it. You order it, and you will see, and we will send you a booklet that comes along with it showing that in 27 modern translations, 2,500 to 3,500 words are missing. That's just out of the New Testament. And I'm sure you didn't know that. So if you have an NIV or an ESV or a King James or a Revised Standard, there are too many mistranslations and missing words, and that is all under the inspiration of Satan to try and steal eternal life from people.
If you have an NIV Bible, Christ is removed 25 times, Lord is removed 350 times, the name Jesus is removed over 290 times, God removed 460 times, Godhead removed 3 times, Hell removed 40 times, Heaven removed 160 times, Blood removed 41 times, the Word of God removed 8 times, the Word of the Lord removed 24 times, and the Lord Jesus Christ is removed 24 times.
However, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Now, if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is dwelling within you, that's the Spirit of the Father that Jesus said back in John 14. That the Father would come and Christ would come and we will make our abode or our dwelling with Him. See? Here it is expressed this way by Paul. He who raised Christ from the dead will also quicken your mortal bodies because of His Spirit that dwells within you. Now that's quite a thing, isn't it? See? Quite a difference, isn't it? Now come back here to John 15. And let's see something, what Christ said, how important that this is, and how important that Christ defines the true love of God that we need for God, and God's love for us that we need from God. Notice, verse 9, as the Father has loved me, no greater perfect love than that, right? I also have loved you. Live in my love. How do you do that? By keeping the commandments of God, led by the Spirit of God. And you don't receive the Spirit of God unless you are properly baptized and receive the Spirit of God. But first, you've got to come to repentance. Like Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. But you don't receive the gift of the Holy Spirit unless you repent. And repentance means you look at your life, you see your life, you examine your life, and look at the sins, and look at the lies, and look at the deception, and look at how you've gone along with the world in the way that the world is going, rather than looking into the Bible to see how God wants you to live, and how you need to go in your life. So let's read that again. As the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Live in my love. Then he defines how it is. If you keep my commandments, you shall live in my love. Now, nothing could be more plain than that. Now, you see the absolute satanic lie of those who say the law has been done away. The commandments have been outdated. Well, if you keep one day in seven, and it's okay to have idols if you don't bow down to them. When God said, don't even make them.
What we're doing is really, really important.
You could call Lou McClung a statue savior.
I have a lot of passion for it.
In 2009, Catholic churches started closing in his hometown of Cleveland, Ohio.
When these churches were built, whoever thought that they were going to shut them down?
McClung, worried about what was left behind, came to the rescue of these religious artifacts, purchasing many of them from the local diocese.
This artwork, to me, is beautiful artwork, and it's sacred, but it also represents the people who sacrificed everything to put it here.
McClung's dedication and talent can be seen all under one roof at his Museum of Divine Statues in Lakewood, Ohio.
We're here to inspire everybody.
The former church sanctuary now provides salvation to dozens of statues and a place for prayer and meditation.
When you can set your eyes on a piece of art or a statue and it looks very realistic, the idea is that you can keep your focus.
McClung is focused on the future. With the possibility of more Catholic churches closing, his work is far from over.
It's definitely a calling. It's the only way that I can explain where that comes from.
If you keep my commandments, you shall live in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and live in his love. Now that's a powerful statement, isn't it? And that's how God will help you love him and love Christ. See? Now we have to come back here to 1 John, the second chapter. Because there are those who say, well, we don't need the New Testament. There are those who say, we don't need the Old Testament. There are those who say it's Jesus only. There are those who say they have the Father and not Jesus. Those are all lies. So let's read it here. Verse 22, 1 John 2. Who is the liar if it's not the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? How many are those of that? And what liar are they following? From Satan the devil. He is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. Together, you can't separate them. Anyone who denies the Son does not have the Father either. Therefore, let that which you have heard from the beginning dwell in you. If what you have heard from the beginning is dwelling in you, then you will be dwelling in the Son and in the Father. See? You must have both. Now think about that a bit. Come back here to John 15 again. Verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now that's raising the bar very high, isn't it? And this is a process that takes place. First, you must repent of your sins. Then you must be baptized. Then you must receive the Spirit of God. Then you must love God. You must keep his commandments. And then you begin growing in love. It doesn't come, voila. It comes with prayer, with study, with living God's way by his commandments. And that's what God wants in this evil, God-forsaken world. And that's the only way you're ever going to come to the true knowledge of Jesus Christ and God the Father. No one has greater love than this, than one lay down his life for his friends. And didn't Jesus lay his life down? Yes, indeed. Let's come here to John 10. Think about all the things that Jesus did and went through. Okay? He did it because of the commandment from the Father, but he willingly laid down his life. And he knew that if he succeeded, he would receive it back. So let's read it here. John 10 and verse 14. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, I know those who are mine, and am known of those who are mine. Just as the Father knows me, I also know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And Jesus said, we'll see in a minute, I lay down my life for you. And we are all the sheep, and he's the shepherd. I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring those also, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. On account of this, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may receive it back again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have authority to lay it down and authority to receive it back again. This commandment I received from my Father. Quite an amazing thing. Now notice what he says to the disciples here. He calls them friends. But how do you stay as a friend of Christ? Back to John 15, verse 13. No one has greater love than this, that one lays down his life for his friends. You are my friends if There's that word again. You do whatever I command you. Now let that sink in. No longer do I call you servants, because the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I've called you friends, because I've made known to you all the things that I have heard from my Father. We've read this before, and you've heard me say it before. The called, the chosen, and the faithful. That's what the true saints are called. The called, the chosen, they answer the call, and they're faithful. Faithful to the end. But notice this. It's not because of what anyone does himself under his own power, because it's the Father who draws. See? So if you're being drawn to repentance, you better follow through on that, because that's of God. Notice this, verse 16. You yourselves did not choose me, but I have personally chosen you. Now think of that. Little old me, little old you, wherever we are, we've been personally chosen by God the Father and Jesus Christ. How great is that? Therefore, there's nothing in this world that can take us away from God. Life or death or height or anything like that. No other person. Because the only way to eternal life is from God the Father through Jesus Christ. I personally chosen you that you should go forth and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, so that whatever you shall ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. But notice this. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. How about that? Now, some people have experienced this because they really want to come to God the Father and Jesus Christ the way that the Bible shows. Guess what? Some of their best friends end up being their enemies. Why? Because you no longer carouse around with them the way that you used to. And you're concerned about living righteously according to the laws and commandments of God. Just as Jesus has said. Now, you need to write in for our book, All About Water Baptism. And you need to read and study this about water baptism and understand that in order to be Christ's, you have to enter into a covenant relationship. And a covenant relationship is the most powerful relationship that you can enter into. It's of the highest caliber of all agreements possible. And it's between you and the Father and Jesus Christ, and to receive the Holy Spirit, because that's how you come out of this world. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, this is Fred Colder saying, so long, everyone.